This is KG News Morning Magazine for Friday, December 17th of 2021. I'm your host, Alexis Kenyon. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, more people have died of drug overdoses in the past year than car crashes and gun violence combined. Colorado leaders say we need to act now in order to combat the deadly effects of fentanyl. Then, nearly a year after the January 6th Capitol riot, Telluride officials arrest a local man for his involvement. After that, we kick off a new round of The Brink, a series of radio reports from students at CU Boulder. At 8:30, Connections comes your way. Then at 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative with an eclectic mix of music until noon. That's all still ahead, but first these headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
The Transportation Commission of Colorado adopted new rules yesterday that will prioritize the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions within the planning of future transportation projects. The commission adopted the new rules by a 10-to-1 vote, with Commissioner Gary Beatty casting the lone vote. Beatty represents 9 rural counties in northeastern Colorado. Under the new rules, the state's 5 regional planning districts will need to design highway and transit projects with modeling showing a reduction in the amount of greenhouse gas emissions, local air pollution, and vehicle miles traveled. If the planning districts do not show a reduction, the state could redirect funding from traditional highway construction to more climate-friendly investments, such as mass transit, bike, or pedestrian infrastructure. The commission proposed the new rules as part of state legislation requiring the Transportation Department to address greenhouse gas emissions. According to the Denver Post, CDOT was tasked with the changes as transportation-related emissions are the leading cause of air pollution. A coalition of state lawmakers, prosecutors, and law enforcement officials held a press conference yesterday calling for new legislation and other statewide measures to address Colorado's surge in fentanyl-related deaths. The coalition, along with Attorney General Phil Weiser, is pushing for increased penalties against drug dealers who deliberately sell drugs containing fentanyl to unsuspecting consumers. The group is also calling for improved treatment options, public education campaigns, and resources to better equip law enforcement officials to investigate fentanyl-related deaths. During the news conference, Weiser said the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment predicts the state's drug overdose deaths from this year will not only break last year's record, but will double the toll of 2018. According to the Colorado Health Institute, between 2019 and 2020, the number of overdose deaths involving fentanyl more than doubled from over 200 to over 500. KGNU will have more on the press conference later in the morning magazine. Colorado investigates elevated benzene level in Weld County north of Longmont's Union Reservoir. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
The benzene level was slightly above health guidelines, but it is not an immediate risk to nearby residents. The Daily Camera reports that a state mobile air monitoring lab recorded the level last Saturday between 8:19 and 9:17 p.m. The lab report was measured about 600 feet from an active oil and gas operation owned by Cub Creek Energy. The site is just northeast of the Union Reservoir, outside of city limits. At this time, nothing out of compliance has been found, and that there is not enough information to determine the exact source of the elevated benzene levels. State officials say that they will compare measurements from other one-hour air samples in the area. This elevated level is the only one that has occurred during more than 400 hours of monitoring at this site. As part of the investigation, the state will inspect the Cub Creek Energy operation and evaluate other potential sources nearby. Benzene is a colorless liquid that evaporates quickly, and it is something people are exposed to in low levels every day. It is released into the air from industries, vehicles, cigarette smoke, and household products. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
The school districts of Boulder Valley and St. Vrain alerted families yesterday about the potential threat of school violence that is being circulated nationwide across social media. A new TikTok challenge is encouraging students to bring weapons to school today. The origin of the challenge is not known. Both districts report that local law enforcement have not found any credible or local threats specific to the district schools. Both districts and local law enforcement are monitoring the situation. The Boulder County Commissioners announced yesterday the community recipients of the 2022 Environmental Sustainability Grant Program. Grant recipients include Boulder, Erie, Jamestown, Lafayette, Longmont, Louisville, Lyons, Netherland, and Superior. According to the county's press release, the county's municipalities are pursuing projects and initiatives including but not limited to assistance for small businesses to transition from styrofoam to environmental-friendly takeout containers, renewable energy planning and solar projects, radon testing for homes, a climate vulnerability and risk mapping project, and water conservation rebates for citizens. The matching grant program receives funding from the 2016 voter-approved sustainability tax that supports sustainability-focused initiatives by cities and towns within Boulder County. Funding is proportionate to community population, and municipalities must provide a 25% match to the grant amount requested. Today's weather along the upper Metro Front Range includes sunny skies with highs in the 40s. Winds could gust as high as 21 to 30 miles per hour for Boulder and Fort Collins. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows in the single digits and into the teens. The National Weather Service reports there will be very dry conditions this weekend and early next week, which will lead to elevated fire danger across the foothills and plains. The temperature in Boulder is currently 34 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Alexis Kenyon. Senate leaders, law enforcement officials, and district attorneys came together from across the state yesterday to talk about what has become the greatest overdose crisis in the nation's history. In the past 12 months, fentanyl deaths have gone up more than 34% in Colorado. Nationally, the drug has killed more people this year than car crashes and gun violence combined. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser says the crisis we're in today started with pharmaceutical companies 25 years ago.
And those deadly pills are marketed to look like they're the old prescription pill, but they're not.
El Paso County, which has been hit particularly hard, has seen fentanyl deaths grow from 4 in 2016 to more than 100 this year. Douglas County Sheriff Tony Spurlock says across the state, law enforcement is overwhelmed.
Our drug task force seized 367,424 dosage units of fentanyl just this year. Any one of those doses could be the fatal dose. One in four is clearly fatal.
Part of the problem with policing fentanyl is that, unlike other drugs, a lot of people who overdose don't know that they're ingesting fentanyl, says Boulder District Attorney Michael Doherty.
Not everybody who dies of fentanyl is an addict or struggling with addiction. They are being poisoned.
This year in Longmont, law enforcement have saved 32 people who have overdosed on fentanyl and then were brought back with Narcan.
So think about that, 32 saves. The numbers we're talking about could be so much worse than they already are, and they are tragic levels already. So we need more help for people struggling with drug problems. We need more resources for law enforcement to investigate. We need stiffer penalties for individuals who are peddling these drugs, particularly those who are selling pills that are laced with fentanyl but look like other drugs.
El Paso County law enforcement recovered 77,000 fentanyl-laced pills, all designed to look like oxycodone, earlier this year. District Attorney Brian Mason says state and local officials need to launch a coordinated effort to protect communities.
Fentanyl is killing our kids. Fentanyl is killing our kids. This is not a partisan issue. This is a public safety issue. And most importantly, it's a public health issue.
In Broomfield and Lafayette, Mason's drug task force doesn't test for fentanyl in the field anymore because it's too dangerous.
One of our agents just within the last couple weeks found some what turned out to be fentanyl powder. He breathed it without meaning to, and he had to use Narcan in the field to protect himself.
Fentanyl's potency means dealers don't need to use a lot of it in order to get people addicted, says Colorado State Senator Brittany Patterson. She says that's why pharmaceutical companies were able to make billions off it in the first place.
It is unfortunately the drug cartels where they have identified fentanyl as their number one preferred drug because it is so potent that it takes a very small amount to make the profits that they are looking at.
Nearly one in four counterfeited pills in Colorado are laced with fentanyl. Tammy Gottsiegen's son, Braden, was in his early 20s when he bought two pills that he thought were painkillers from a friend.
He took one and we found the other in his belongings, a blue M30 thought to be a prescription oxycodone. That pill contained fentanyl and he died sometime after midnight on January 11th, 2019.
Gottsiegen says she feels like deaths caused by fentanyl-laced drugs are equivalent to someone being poisoned.
Most of these people didn't know they were ingesting fentanyl. They thought they were taking a Xanax or a Percocet or an Oxy. It's in cocaine, heroin, meth, and now even marijuana. Think about it this way, for instance, if you go to a restaurant and order a Sprite and it contains cyanide, you are poisoned and you die. You didn't ask for that cyanide.
Rather than penalizing users, law enforcement should spend more resources trying to track down dealers, says Attorney General Weiser.
We have this opportunity to reevaluate possession penalties, given that what we know is 4 grams of fentanyl. It's not like 4 grams of cocaine. When someone has 4 grams of fentanyl, that is enough to kill thousands of people. And we need to make sure that we hold people accountable who are in the business of leading our Coloradans to take this pill and to die.
Weiser, along with local and state officials, say they plan on pushing new legislation that will increase penalties for fentanyl dealers and funding to addiction and law enforcement programs in the coming year. Federal law enforcement arrested a Telluride man over the weekend for his alleged involvement in the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. KOTO's Julia Caulfield has more.
San Miguel County Sheriff's officers arrested Avery McCracken in Norwood on Saturday, December 11th, with a federal warrant from the FBI for his alleged involvement in the January attack on the Capitol. McCracken is 68 years old and has lived in the Telluride region for a number of years. According to court documents, on January 6th, McCracken approached a police line that was attempting to protect the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Documents say he assaulted a Metropolitan Police Department officer with pushes, shoves, and a punch to the face that left a cut under the officer's eye. The court documents say McCracken also assaulted a second police officer with pushes, shoves, and grabs. McCracken is indicted on multiple charges, including assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers using a dangerous weapon or inflicting bodily injury, civil disorder, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, engaging in physical violence in a restricted building or grounds, and act of physical violence on Capitol grounds or buildings. San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters says in January, the sheriff's office received an anonymous tip indicating McCracken was in Washington, D.C. for the January riot.
We informed the FBI of that information at that time. We didn't receive anything else for quite some time. We did receive some information a little bit later. From another source.
That source identified McCracken in a photo of rioters at the Capitol.
Upon us reviewing the picture, we realized that it was, in fact, Mr. McCracken that appeared to be at the Capitol and informed the FBI of that information that we'd received. They, in turn, went and started a full investigation.
The FBI issued a warrant for arrest and asked the sheriff's office to apprehend McCracken. When it comes to McCracken's involvement with the attack on the Capitol, Master says he isn't particularly surprised.
Knowing this individual for 40 years, he'd been in and out of our jail on numerous occasions. We've charged him with multiple crimes, as have other federal agencies in the past. So it wasn't terribly shocking.
And he's grateful to federal investigators for continuing their investigation into the January 6th attack.
I'm really glad that the FBI agents are taking this incident seriously and are investigating it very thoroughly. And we're certainly there to stand and help with our partners in peacekeeping on the federal level.
McCracken appeared in federal court in Grand Junction on Tuesday. He is being prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice National Security Division's Counterterrorism Section.
Colorado's Transportation Commission overwhelmingly approved new regulations yesterday to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector. The rules are part of a requirement of SB 260, a bill passed last year to transition the state's transportation sector to cleaner alternatives. Vehicle emissions do make up a huge part of Colorado's air pollution, but wildfire smoke has become an increasingly problematic contributor to bad air. To kick off our new round of the Brink collaboration with environmental science students at CU Boulder, Adrian Hodgson and Gina White look at the impacts of wildfire smoke on human health.
The Denver metro area had some of the worst air quality on record this past summer, and much of it was due to wildfire smoke. Just last year, three historical fires incinerated thousands of acres of forest and blanketed Colorado in smoke. The wildfire smoke that has become a part of Colorado summers is especially concerning for people with pre-existing respiratory conditions.
It just makes it a little more annoying throughout the day just to, yeah, do my daily stuff.
Matt Pekov is a CU Boulder student who struggles with asthma, especially during wildfires.
I find myself waking up in the mornings with my lungs being more tight than they used to be, and throughout the day. So yeah, it makes me have to use my inhaler more, and I don't like to do that.
Pekov's experience mirrors the realities for the estimated hundreds of thousands of people living with respiratory conditions in Colorado. Bill Hayes is the air quality coordinator for Boulder County Public Health.
Just about everyone the past couple of summers have probably experienced some sorts of mild irritation, sore throats, coughs, runny noses, itchy eyes. But people with pre-existing respiratory conditions like COPD, asthma, the elderly, and young children are all at greater risk. And we do see increased emergency room visits when our air pollution is particularly bad.
Although wildfire smoke affects people with pre-existing respiratory conditions most severely in the short term, it can also cause other serious health conditions in all people. The major concern of wildfire smoke is that it is particulate matter that is 2.5 microns or smaller, which has the ability to surpass all of the normal defenses in our normal respiratory system. Again, Bill Hayes.
Particulate matter of that size gets past all the normal defenses in our respiratory system. They go deep into our lungs, and then they can get into our bloodstream where they can impact all of the organs in our body. Obviously, it damages the lungs, so it makes breathing more difficult, which puts an increased strain on the heart. It can affect neurological functions. In pregnant women, it can affect the growing fetus and cause low birth weight and premature births. So there are a number of serious consequences that can result from long-term exposure to those fine particulate matters.
Despite the life-threatening effects, there are very few ways to limit exposure to wildfire smoke. James Crooks, associate professor and researcher of public health and climate change at National Jewish Health, explains.
You can't avoid all exposure to smoke. It just tends to get everywhere. But if you have a pretty tight building envelope for your house or your apartment, that does help keep some of it outside. And if you have a tight building envelope and you have an indoor air filter, that can help keep the air inside clean. most people are inside most of the day, so that is helpful.
Crook says that even well-fitted N95 masks will only filter out around 30% of the fine particles in wildfire smoke. The limits on mitigating exposure to wildfire smoke demand addressing the source of the problem, climate change.
All indications are that it will get worse. And the less we do to combat climate change, the worse it will get. And it will get worse until we essentially start running out of forests in the dry places and have nothing left to burn. So what can we do about it? Well, we can stop emitting carbon. We can stop burning fossil fuels. The faster we do that, the better the situation will be. You know, there's no way to go back to the way things were back in the 80s when there was a lot less smoke, but we can certainly save ourselves from some future harm by combating climate change now.
The Front Range has gone from a record-breaking summer of bad air quality to a dry winter that is triggering burn bans. The Colorado state government has plans to transition to clean energy, but the pace is slow. Governor Jared Polis has committed to Colorado using 100% renewable energy by 2040. His plans include reducing greenhouse gas emissions through incentivizing electric vehicle use and cutting pollution in the energy sector. Wildfire smoke continues to worsen over time while disproportionately affecting people with pre-existing respiratory conditions. The reality is, wildfire smoke affects the entirety of the Front Range, and there is very little that we can do to sufficiently protect ourselves from it. What we can do is take steps to combat climate change. For KGNU, The Brink Series, I'm Gina White and Adrian Hodgson.
Welcome to .org, KGNU's look at local nonprofits.
I'm Chris Schultz with KGNU.org, and I'm here with Jorge De La Torre from the Kitchen Network. Jorge, you want to tell us a little bit about your organization and what you're doing with the old Johnson & Wales campus?
They were financed their own building so that they can start their businesses. They have this piece called the Kitchen Network, which is an accelerator for businesses. They try to bring people in at a very low cost so that people can really have the ability to start their business. Let's say they want to sell something at farmers markets or try to sell retail. We help them with the permitting and have an area so that they can legally do their product. We kind of manage a common or shareable kitchen that it meets all the criteria of Department of Health. So some people, they don't need to get a whole brick and mortar. They just need it for X amount of hours. Well, we can do that. We can help that. And we manage that it's clean and safe. People from Buku and Kitchen West always saw there was a need on the east side, the Montbello area, East Colfax, South Park Hill. Aurora has needed this kind of commissary. Now we're in the rezoning so that we can be a commissary. But since we were an education piece, as a university and zoned, we've been able to become a workforce development hub. Immediately, we were able to bring on people like Work Options. They started as helping women that were incarcerated. We have them on campus. They're teaching their classes. We have Dirt Coffee. They have a barista program that helps neurodivergent people. So that means people that are on the spectrum, Asperger's, autistic. They teach them not only life skills, but they teach them how to be baristas. So we're going to have a coffee shop here. We have the Small Business Development Center coming out, the Hispanic Restaurant Association. We also run an apprentice program for the Rocky Mountain Chefs Association, which really helps people who can't afford to go to school, but want to go through that apprentice program that really is helpful. It allows them to learn while getting paid. So we're really trying to be not only that commissary, but like I said, the workforce development and education piece, Small Business Development Center coming out, the Hispanic Restaurant Association. We also run an apprentice program for the Rocky Mountain Chefs Association, which really helps people who can't afford to go to school, but want to go through that apprentice program that really is helpful. It allows them to learn while getting paid. So we're really trying to be not only that commissary, but like I said, the workforce development and education piece.
For their link and another listen, go to our blog at kgnu.org/dotorg.
That that is all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Alexis Kenyon. Thank you to Stacey Johnson, Steve Miller, and Shannon Young for your help on today's show. Stay tuned for Connections with Fiona Foster. All that and more just after this news update from the BBC.